Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Ian, where's Mike?
I have no idea.
Okay, Mike's not here this morning, folks. This is Stu. Got Ian working the board. Phil's back there. I don't know what he does back there. I know that we have less stray children running around the neighborhood after he gets done. That's all I know. Thanks for the chili, by the way, Phil. Wonderful. Well, it's a kind of a dreary-looking Sunday morning, but I have a feeling that is a harbinger of cooler weather. This is Stu, Chef Stuart Rev Donald. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, although Mike is not with us. Hope you're getting feeling better there, buddy. But Ian, we had a great weekend of football. I don't know if you're a football guy, but the state won, and that's good. I didn't get to see a lot of it. I saw some of the Alabama game because Mike and I were doing a Sip and Chew experience, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And the family that we were doing it at, Alabama fans, they had the TV on. I caught most of the Auburn game.
Yeah, that was we actually broadcasted that yesterday here on FM Talk 106.5. You can hear it every Saturday. And, oh, my goodness. If I would have seen another blown lead, a third, what is it now, a third week in a row from Auburn, I probably would have thrown my chair out of my college dorm window, because I go to university. I'm a freshman, but I would have probably taken my chair and just thrown it out the window.
If you and your friends back at school want to have some fun, go on YouTube and look for it was the Wes Byram was a freshman kicker at Auburn, so he was a senior on the national championship team. So it would have been about 2006, 2007, Auburn at Florida. Go back and look for College Kid Goes Berserk with that. And it's somebody set up a camera in the lobby of a dormitory at the University of Florida, and there was apparently one kid who took the game incredibly seriously.
Oh, no.
And he starts yelling that Urban Meyer wasn't worth the money they paid him. Every time Tuberville's on the screen, he goes, "I hate you, Tuberville. Everybody hates you. Even your kids don't like you," and stuff like that. And it is quite humorous, especially when Auburn wins at the end. Spoiler alert.
I will have to go and look at that, because I do not remember that game. You said it was like 06, 07?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wes Byram is freshman. Brandon Cox, I believe, is still the quarterback.
Brandon Cox.
Yeah.
Okay, that actually lines up pretty well.
Yeah.
I saw a bit of the Alabama game. Jalen Waddle, y'all, seriously.
Oh,
prayers,
man,
up for Jalen Waddle, man. It's tough. I played wide receiver when I played football for a few years, and it sucks to see that we still have people trying to wrap up at the ankles and not, you know, waist high like what you're taught. And, I mean, it's unfortunate because it's football. It happens.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, oh, is it dirty? You know, the defensive back was a dirty player. Because, you know, it's a freak of accident.
You played,
of a play.
I played. Things happen in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you're moving at 100% speed, you don't have 100% control.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but it was terrible. I hate that happened. I understand, listening to the news coming in, the sports news, that the rest of the Southeastern Conference is not unhappy with officiating just in Auburn's games. But apparently, and I missed this because I hadn't watched them, there seems to have been some non-calls that went Alabama's way. I haven't seen them. Like I say, I hadn't watched them. I've watched Alabama football for 52 years, and I can tell you, well, that's every game.
Yeah, I mean,
and it, for every team too. So
yeah, I mean, Alabama did have, let's see if I can remember, third quarter, middle of the way through a drive, there was a false start that was not called, and then there was a Tennessee touchdown that They called him out of. They called the receiver out of bounds, like the 27-yard line. But if you go back and you look at the tape, he clearly was still in bounds.
So. And you, and here's I you know and I went I talked about it last week when Auburn lost. I'm not putting any pressure on anyone this year, and that includes the officials, because it's been a difficult situation on anyone. For the most part, this season's a mulligan. I mean, none of these kids are going to lose eligibility unless they want to go to the next level or go on a different direction with their life. So it's just one long spring practice. That's how I'm looking at it. And there'll be a champion at the end, unless it's the winner of the Big Ten, and then it should get an asterisk, because if you don't play a full season, you shouldn't be allowed to play.
I can agree with that. And I would also say that the winner of this year should not receive an asterisk, because it's
unless
still
it's
a
Ohio
season.
State, just
unless if it's Ohio State, because I mean, look, it's I'm going to just say it. Ohio State does not play any ranked comp, or I'm not going to say any ranked, but they do not play a lot of ranked competition in their conference historically.
No,
that's just how it's been,
and it's down this year. We've already seen Penn State drop, and you know it was predicted. All the guys are like, we got Penn State number 8, but we don't think they're going to make top 25 this year. Then why you got them at number 8?
Right.
You know. Wisconsin looked pretty good, and that's pretty much it. That's the rest of the conference is, you know. The worst thing that happened to Ohio State, and you have to remember, much as I don't like them as a program, they were right, is that eliminating the non-conference games hurts their strength of schedule. Because when you're in the Big Ten, you're in the Big 12, and the Pac-12, you're out of conference games or your entire strength of schedule, because you just don't have anyone. And the Big 12 is a dumpster fire.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm enjoying it. But did you have good food with your football gaming, or were you stuck here behind the board?
I was here till around 3:30, 3:45, covering the Auburn post game show, and then after that I went and picked up some food, went back to my dorm, watched the football game with some friends, and my dad called me like halfway through. He was on a job, and he's like, "Hey man, how's the game going?" And I said, "Well, our arguably second best receiver." Or third best receiver, depending on how you want to rank Menchie after that. That was like 8 catches, but he had like 160 yards. It was ridiculous. But we lost a receiver, and you know, it's not exactly easy. I felt for Waddle on that play. It was like the first play of the game. I wasn't able to see the first half, but yes, I did have some okay food. We had some Zaxby's, shameless plug. And,
it's a chain. Fusackley's, locally owned. Love Fusackley's. And but here's the thing about chicken fingers with me. The gap between the worst chicken finger you've ever had and the best chicken finger you've ever had won't fit a slice of paper. I mean, it's a chicken finger. It is the bottom rung of the food totem pole.
I mean, that's where we have to try to compare like different types of honey mustard and different sauces.
And there with Fusackley's, you've got a homemade sauce versus Zaxby's, where you've got one that's made in a plant somewhere and pre-sealed and shipped to them.
Right.
And it's a noticeable difference in the sauces. Although essentially it's the same ingredients, but when you get that prepackaged stuff, they have to do so much preservatives and things like that so that it holds up, that the flavor is altered.
You also have to think about what you're funding. If you go to something like Fusackley's that's locally owned, like you said, so you're funding your own community that is then going to strengthen. You are doing your community I'm not going to say a complete service, but you're doing them a financial service, keeping them in business, et cetera. When you fund a corporation, and I'm sitting here like getting on myself about this now that you're that you're bringing it up, Stu. But man, there's not a lot of difference. There's really not.
Yeah. Now the thing that gets me is, why wouldn't you go to Cookout? I know it's a small chain. It's regional. Have you already gotten tired of it?
I have never been to Cookout.
Oh my goodness, man! Never I can tell you right now, that is that's one little chain I endorse. It is amazing the food you get there for almost no money. And granted, the burgers are small, but you also get two sides with them. Two sides and a burger and a drink for like $7. And it's really good. I mean, I expected that those prices, and I heard college kids raving about this place, which, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about it. I've never been.
And great shakes, too. I really do enjoy the shakes. You know, that's a tough corner right there. Because when people open a restaurant there, their thought is, oh, look, we've got this huge university right here. All we got to do is open the door, and we're going to make money. What they don't realize is even now with all the development they've had in on-campus housing at South, I'm still 85 to 90% drive home and sleep in mom and daddy's house at night. And they don't stop at places by campus because mom's going to cook dinner when they get home. It's, right. it's an anomaly of a school because it is still mostly commuter students. And it makes that corner a lot tougher than you think it should be, being next to a university that large.
Oh, yeah. You just you have to have some sort of way to attract people in, that kind of thing. So I would just say, as a college student myself, get some milkshakes, get some coffee, and you'll have them coming in by the dozen before you know it.
343-0106. If you want to join in on the action, you can text or call.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, we are back. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, segment two. Oh, man. I'm a rapper all of a sudden. Word to your mother. Ian doesn't even get that comment. But there was a rapper named Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Was famous for saying, word to your mother.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I grew up a rap fan, so I kind of have to cringe whenever I hear Ice's name a bit, because I'm more of a Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar kind of guy.
Oh, but, so Kanye West actually does music?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have said that in 20 years, no one will know anything he's ever recorded.
I mean, if you have that kind of legacy and you're still one of the only, like, two or three rappers to ever...
He's famous for being an idiot on camera.
Yeah.
That's what it, I mean, that's what he's famous for.
I'm not about to sit there and talk about his off, his out-of-studio endeavors, because that's been a bit more... I mean, he's kind of... I would say that he's kind of cleaned it up in recent years, but I don't know. I mean, it's a problem, mm-hmm. and... I think he knows it's a problem, but at the same time, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm just like, man, we gotta get back to making music, because that's your talent, man. That's your talent. That's what you do. Don't, you know, I understand expanding your platform. Believe me, I am all for using a platform for the betterment of others. I am all for it. But whenever you start saying stuff that
crazy
conflicts,
yeah.
and then it starts to not make sense. It's like the random kid in school, you know, you'll be in math class, and all of a sudden he'll blurt out, you know, something like, why does Percy Jackson have to be 12 in the books? You know, or something like, that's something completely random, you know
right.
what I mean? And it's like...
He's in his own world.
Right.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Well, last night, we were in a different world, Mike and I. We were at a beautiful couple's home, at their beautiful home on Mobile Bay. And we did one of our Sip and Chew experiences where Mike and I come into your home and don't completely destroy it. But we cook a little dinner, we do a little wine, and I wish Mike were here to tell us about the wines we had last night. But I can tell you about the food. We started out with a trio of crustini bites.
Ooh.
Yeah, so each bite of bread was a different sandwich. Bite-sized sandwiches. The first one was black and blue carpaccio, where I take prime tenderloin, coated in blackening seasoning, and just sear it off. And then you chill it back off so that it gets nice and cold, slice it thin, put it on the crostini, some gorgonzola crumbles on top, and a drizzle of balsamic reduction. That's one bite. The next bite was a duck and pomegranate crostini, with seared duck breast, goat cheese, arugula that we forgot to put on there.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's going to make the whole thing, and you just had to leave out the most important.
It was there for color. It was there for color. And then we painted the duck breast with pomegranate molasses. So the pomegranate and the goat cheese really play well off each other, and then the duck handles both of those flavors great. And then the third bite was kind of a fall flavor. It was butternut squash puree with a slice of fresh Italian sausage and drizzled with hickory nut syrup and a little fresh sage on it. And that one seemed to go over well. That was a new one. I had done the other two at weddings and other things that I've done, but the butternut squash one, that was new, and it seemed to go over very well. And for the second course, I did a soup based on a side dish in New Orleans, which is called mock show. It, for those that aren't familiar with it, it is corn and tomatoes cooked in heavy cream. Well, I added a little more cream to it and some potatoes and a little bit of pork fat and called it chowder. And it garnished it with some blackened shrimp, if that's okay with you, Ian.
I am an avid seafood advocate, and I have known people who live in the South, specifically we're you know, on the Gulf of Mexico, et cetera, and I have seen people who are either distasteful, like they dislike seafood, mm-hmm. or they're flat out allergic to it. And I'm like,
oh, that the allergic, that I hurt for them.
I hurt for them,
yeah.
Because you're never going to understand catfish. You're never going to understand popcorn shrimp. You're never going to understand being able to have flamed oysters,
yeah,
as an appetizer,
oysters.
Followed up by the biggest shrimp po' boy you've ever seen. Like, that for me is an ideal seafood meal. Oysters, shrimp, and maybe for a third course, we could go for a bit of some calamari. I like some calamari.
Yeah, and then follow it all with key lime pie. Yeah, but so the soup went over extremely well, and Heather, my girlfriend, really liked it. So I have a feeling I will be doing that more in the future. But I just called it Creole Mock Show Chowder. And then the entree course, I did some Dixie Lily yellow grits cooked with smoked Gouda and topped them with some beef brisket short rib that I braised in red wine all afternoon until it was tender. And then spooned a little of that jus from the bottom of the pan over the top of that. And just let that beautiful piece of meat and those grits, you know, do for themselves. And it seemed like everybody enjoyed that as well. And then dessert, finished it up, a Gulf Coast classic bread pudding. But I did a little spin. It was a strawberry bread pudding. And the hard sauce was a vanilla cream hard sauce with Captain Morgan's Private Select rum to spike it, to give it a good flavor. And like I said, everyone was full. Everyone was happy. We dined al fresco. Phil, that means outside. The couple had beautiful tables set up with a little canopy over the top just in case it became Mobile for a few minutes. And their backyard goes right out onto Mobile Bay, and we got to walk out on their pier and enjoy it. And it was just beautiful. And you know, these are some good friends that had us over. And, you know, it's some of the other people that they invited now going, hey, we'd like you to come and do the same thing at our home for Valentine's Day. And someone else, yeah, I got a business meeting coming up. Love y'all to come to my house and do this. And we are available for that, folks. If nothing else, Mike and I can be bought and bought cheaply. So we, you know, there's our claim to fame. We're cheap.
We're cheap.
To purchase, yeah.
We're cheap.
Yeah. To say that we're cheap when purchasing would be an upgrade of how much we spend.
Oh, gosh.
But it was a really terrific evening. October's the best month of the year to do anything outside in this area. I guess April is second. Early May is nice as well. But October is true Chamber of Commerce weather. And other than the odd hurricane, you know, it's lived up to it this year. See, last year, summer drug.
It was like a five-month summer,
yeah,
in terms of weather.
Yeah, I mean, we were still hitting the 90s and almost at Halloween last year. So this has been a nice return to that normalcy, if everything else is still topsy-turvy. Ian, you told us that you ate at Zaxby's this week.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. But you haven't eaten at Cookout. My goodness. Where do the college kids like to eat these days?
Oh, goodness. Well, like I said before, Cookout is a popular spot. I just personally have never been. Cookout, there's a Whataburger nearby.
Yeah, because you're at University of Mobile, right?
Yes.
That Whataburger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. So, I was going – that was my first spot. That's always my first spot. Whenever I'm thinking fast food, I'm thinking going Whataburger. But they were closed, so I couldn't get to them. And so I had to turn around. But – I would say the number one hangout spot, at least for college kids, quote unquote, in general, I would say is when the summer rolls around and we and a lot of us come back home, specifically in my area across the bay, Daphne, Spanish Fort, shout out, Boudreaux's, actually. Boudreaux's or some oyster house. That is where generally people meet, and specifically because a lot of my friends, including myself, are in fine arts. I was an all-state level tenor in my last 2 years of high school, so I can go down to Bluegill, and we would you know, just listen to the music, listen to people play, you know. So
yeah, COVID is it's hurt the restaurant industry. It's also hurt the live entertainment industry.
Oh, absolutely.
And Mike and I have good friends that are in the entertainment industry here. A number of acts. Lauren Murphy actually came in and did an entire show with us one time and sang us in and out of each commercial, which, if you haven't heard her, just one of the best voices in the area. Plays with a band called the Psychedelics, so it's Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics. And she does solo stuff as well. Mike is good friends with Phil and Foster and has for years, and just about every Wednesday night he'll be at Callahan's when Governor Meemaw lets us in to hear them. And you know, these folks have really struggled during this time, just like restaurant owners have, which, you know, a lot of people have, oddly enough, except people in government jobs who've done just fine. So, but they're also working to try and keep some sanity in here, because I detailed my issues with renewing my tag and getting a license or getting everything registered during the COVID, and the first go-round was a nightmare, but it didn't take them long, and they had a great system set up.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, where you just call in, you let them know what you want to do, you set your thing. Hey, speaking of great tenors, Home Free, with baritone Adam Chance from Baymanette, Alabama.
Midnight confessions, whiskey therapy sessions.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's half of us. Good morning, folks. Mike is not here this morning, but I'm Stuart Rabdonald, your executive chef for the day. Mike is at home nursing some wounds or something. I don't know what from. Alabama's rolling this year, so unless he got on his bicycle, he should be fine. Ian, in case you don't know, Mike is an avid cyclist. He's just not a good one.
Well,
he has had more than one accident in downtown Mobile. He is no Lance Armstrong in many ways. but Mike is not here this morning. I am here. Ian is on the board. Phil is screening the call, should we get any. If you want to get in on it, it's 343-0106. We had a good weekend of football for the state. Now, the South Alabama game, I haven't heard a final.
I do not know the score of that game, okay. But we will be able to cover that tomorrow night, sports night, Monday at 6 p.m.
There you go. Get that plug in, young man. There you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah, Corey LeBounty and Dalton Orr, we do a great job on that, so I have to shout those guys out because they – yeah, I mean just, I'm just being for real. Like, Dalton and Corey are just so knowledgeable about the subject, and they do a great job with it. So,
yeah, I remember when Terry Bowden was the head coach at Auburn, that he used to talk about the people here in Alabama second-guessing his coaching decisions. He made the comment, he goes, well, I think professional college coaches know a little more than the average fan, to which someone pointed out, right, but you're in Alabama, we don't have any average fans. Said, everybody in this state pretty much knows as much about football as you do. Where's he coaching now? Yeah. But, you know, this is a hard state to be a coach in, so I kind of feel it for him. It is not a hard place to get a good meal. I went to dinner the other night with Heather. We had a date night, and our date night took us to Poor Baby in West Mobile. Ian, you're probably a couple of years from being able to go in there and enjoy it. Right now, just stick to Whataburger.
We'll see.
But had just an incredible meal. Kenny and Ricky and the guys, it's just always a first-class operation. And I drank wine. Heather had cocktails. Went to a wine bar so she could have cocktails. And if at least go in there sometime. There's a giant baby head over the bar. But
that
it looks
sounds
but it's adorable.
Specific. That sounds very oddly specific.
Well, it's Poor Baby. They pour, P-O-U-R.
Ah,
poor
I see.
Poor Baby. Yeah.
I see.
and just had a great dinner. Heather had one of the best filet mignon she's ever had in her life. She said the texture was absolutely like butter. She could have eaten it with a spoon, which is how I usually eat everything. But I had a great duck dish. Oh, my gosh, it was so good. A little sweet, a little crispy, just terrific. And dessert. Oh, Heather had a chocolate hazelnut semifreddo cake. Semifreddo meaning partially frozen. It's a fancy way of saying there was ice cream mixed into it. And then I had probably the best buttermilk pie I have ever had in my life. It was absolutely fantastic.
That sounds good, but I am not a pie person, so I would not know. Sad to say.
It is a custard. And instead of using milk, they just use buttermilk. So it's got a little tang to it. So it's custard cooked inside a crust.
Okay.
Because, Heather and I always have the debate, what's better, cake or pie? Well, clearly it's pie. Every sane person knows it's pie. But there's some people out there, I don't know, that think cake is superior. And Heather's one of them. And what we've come down to is she doesn't care for the fruit pies where you take a bite and everything comes spilling out.
Mm-hmm.
A custard pie, or like a fudge pie, something like that. She's much more on board with that.
The higher quality pies.
Yeah, sure. Well, I wouldn't say higher quality, man.
In terms of things
more
just,
complex,
more complex, we'll say.
Yeah, but this buttermilk pie, man. And then she took some of the semi-frito cake home, where we put it in the freezer, and it became completely frito. And then I believe it was yesterday, just sitting around, we had a quick breakfast of cereal while we were getting ready to do the event yesterday. And she goes, I'm still hungry. And I pulled the semi-frito out and let it get semi again. And then she finished that up. Terrific. We tried a place. Here's one for your college eggs, folks. It's Cottage Hill and Hillcrest in the shopping center where the little wall market is, called Snow Zone.
Heard of it.
Oh, man. They make snow cones with sweetened condensed milk.
Wow.
Yeah, and they call them snows. And instead of it being like tiny little ice cubes, they get it like shaved ice. And it is just unbelievable. And I was just thinking, we've still got some of that in the freezer at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I may need to get into that when I get back. And Jim from Sims just let us know, South Alabama 38, Louisiana Monroe 14. Go Jags, go Pie.
So South Alabama wins a game? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Wow. That's back-to-back, isn't it?
Wow.
Didn't they win last week as well?
That is wild. If they just won back-to-back games, that is that is shocking.
Well, they also had back-to-back off weeks.
That is true.
Yeah. So that's hard to shake that kind of rust off. So congratulations all the state teams that, you know, other than UAB and Troy, I don't know about their scores, but not a lot of people here follow them. Auburn and Alabama, of course, are followed throughout the state, and then South Alabama locally, regionally. So good day to be a football fan in the state of Alabama, unless you're a football fan in the state of Alabama who pulls for Tennessee, in which case it's pretty much like the last 14 years.
Dalton Norwig, we are sorry for your loss this week.
I lived in Nashville for most of the 90s. And that was when I first started to lose any hatred I had as an Auburn fan, of Alabama fan, because, you know, honestly, the Tennessee fans were very obnoxious. I understand the arrogance when your team has, at the time, won 12 national championships like
Absolutely.
Alabama had. I didn't get the same level of arrogance from a fan of a team that had won one national championship in 100 years. See, this was even prior to the T. Martin National Championship.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that they were like this. And it was unreal, some of the things that I would hear. And one year, when they got Peyton Manning, signed him, they also signed another quarterback. I believe his name was Brandon Stewart out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton was the number one quarterback in high school football. Brandon Stewart was the number two quarterback in high school football. And Tennessee signed him the first year, and one of my employees comes in, and he's holding up the paper with that, and he goes, I bet you wish Auburn could sign a quarterback that good. And I said, well, I'll just have to settle one that knows what it's like to throw a winning touchdown against Alabama.
I mean, That is true. Yeah. And that kind of.
And that quarterback at the time was the father of Auburn's current quarterback. It was Patrick Nix.
Right.
Yeah. And that kind of hushed him up.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
I think.
And just seeing how that ate up the obnoxious fans, the good fans in Tennessee, I had no problem with. Just like any the good friendly fans from all conferences and play teams, I love to visit when I want to hear about their traditions, you know, and what it is that they love about their school. But the ones in Tennessee, they say, UT, you know, I rooted for Alabama every year, and that's why this is the only week of the year you will ever hear me say Roll Tide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as an Alabama fan, I will take that. Mm-hmm. I will definitely take that. Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna be having experiences, I usually have like a team that I kind of pull from when it comes to my fandom. So Alabama, obviously, because right. I've had family members who have gone there, and my grandfather is a huge football fan. He got me into football. He's seen every Super Bowl. Can tell you the scores. I mean, he is literally the biggest football. He's not even a mega fan. He's a supernova level fan of football. He's got, you know, I mean, he's typically down in his basement in front of his TV. He has the TV on, but it's muted a lot of the time, and he'll be listening to Eli Gold on the call. Sometimes he'll have like a box score pulled up. I think usually it's ESPN, but he'll have like a box score pulled up, and he's like, "Come on, Najee, you gotta run it better." You know, so it's great. You know, every Thanksgiving and whenever we have time to go over there and watch some Alabama football with him. But I will say, growing up, there was a good friend of mine. He's a Clemson fan, and his name's Luke, and Luke was always wanting Alabama to lose, mainly because it was a rivalry between me and him,
right?
And it just bled over into college football. But at the same time, like, it was just so, because he was one of the fans where, okay, you beat my team, you did it fair and square, respect. Like, he was respectable about it. But I remember the national championship. And this was like 2015, I believe, where Deshaun Watson did almost everything he could, but he couldn't pull it out. It was like 45-40, the final score. Kenyon Drake had that punt return for a touchdown, I believe it was, and just, you know, I mean, the call, "Look out, Kenyon Drake can fly." You know, it's just it was a crazy call. And I remember I'm watching it with some people from school, and I'm going crazy. I'm going absolutely nuts because I'm just crazy whenever it comes to my team actually being somewhere, you know?
Right.
So it's not often that I'm up out of my chair and I'm hooping and hollering, you know, all the Alabama fans in my friend group are jumping around, and Luke just gets up and he starts dabbing people up, and he's like, all right, you know, good game. Because by that point, it was pretty much over. There was not enough time to get two scores with an onside kick and still make it happen. There just wasn't enough time.
It was academic at that point.
Right. It was academic at that point. And I remember there was a couple other kids that were either relatives of Luke's or that they were friends of Luke's from out of state that had come in to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And Clemson is in the ACC, not exactly the greatest conference historically, but they do have some tough teams in there. And we had been in a debate the majority of the game about which conference was tougher at the time to play in. And we had brought up the topic of an all-conference schedule, which, ironically enough, now we're playing, you know, four or five years later. But I just remember a lot of those Clemson fans, They were screaming. A lot of Luke's friends were getting up in people's faces. "Y'all don't deserve this," and, you know, whatever else. And then next year they didn't come to the Clemson celebration party whenever Deshaun got that game-winning touchdown against Alabama next year.
Which was an awesome game.
It was a good game through and through. I'm not about to sit there and say, like, "Oh, my gosh, it's like," it was a good game. We played our hearts out. We just made – Sarkisian was not on his game that game, I think, for the offensive coordinator position. But, it's
– Isn't Venerables – wasn't he the defensive coordinator at Clemson by then? Because he's one of the best.
I believe he was, but I'm pretty sure somebody could fact check us on that. All right, when we come back, We'll discuss more. 251-343-0106.
All right.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And you are back for the final segment of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu here on FM Talk 106.5. I am your executive chef, Stuart Rep Donald. Mike is at home, napping, watching a little run back to Alabama game probably. Heather Ian is astonished that I can sit there and watch the entire Auburn game. And when it's over, I turn on the radio to hear the post game, and I will listen to and it used to drive Charlie up the wall, all 3 hours of postgame if we win. I don't listen to a second of it if we lose. In fact, I don't pay any attention until of sports of any kind again until probably about Thursday of the next week.
Well, I mean, you're coming off of the high of the win, the emotional adrenaline of the win. I completely understand that. Yeah. I do that I'm more of an avid basketball fan than anything else. I'll do that with the Celtics all the time.
Yeah. Boy likes the green. Excellent. Then after I listen to the 3 hour post game, I go to YouTube and I pull up all the highlight compilations.
And you have to watch the highlights.
Every one of them.
And just relive the moment.
Yeah. Well, so much of it is I'm missing the game because I'm working for whatever reason. But she knows I had a fall a few years ago when I was working as a chef at a wedding venue. Well, the only day you work at a wedding venue is Saturday. So I worked every Saturday. But it was very remote, so there was almost no cell phone coverage, no radio. She had TVs, but they weren't in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
So I missed an entire football season. And the drive home, I would start getting caught up on scores. I'd be in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it'd be close to midnight before I left. And so I missed everything. And
I don't think I could stand that.
I'm not still in the wedding chef business either. And I thought, what's the big deal? You know, it was painful. Because it's not just the watching the game thing. It's the whole social aspect of getting to talk about the game the next day with other fans of the other team. All of the things that come with the football fandom, I missed out on. And it was excruciating to me. And, we got to do some NFL. It's a different animal. It's the same game, but a different animal. And
way
that's
different
nice.
Feel. Way different feel.
Yeah, and Heather and I, we have four teams now that we watch. She has always, and it's odd because they have been terrible almost her entire lifetime, been a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, gosh.
She was 3 the last time they won a Super Bowl, I believe.
So
she doesn't know why either.
I feel for that because
her mother was always a huge Packers fan, so she roots for the Packers.
Okay, Packers are a bit more respectable.
And then Saints, of course, because that's our local team.
Right.
That's my team. And I root for the Patriots because Stidham and Cam and Jonathan Joseph are there.
Right, because you have people there that went through the program that you follow.
Right.
I'm more of a Falcons fan myself.
Wow, you're the one.
Yeah, I'm the Atlanta guy, and it's not just the it's not just Julio Jones or Devontae Smith or what have you.
Right.
It's the city itself. I feel like has kind of grown on me the more that I've visited it, the more that I've stayed there. I've been to Hawks games, seen Trae Young drop like 38 on Boston. That was pretty cool. But and as a Celtics fan, I'm saying this.
Right.
The guy torched us for like 9 threes or something, and we just. We couldn't guard him the entire night. Still wound up winning, but regardless, just Atlanta.
I remember the playoff game between the Celtics and the Bulls where Jordan went off for 63.
Well,
and the Bulls lost by 20.
And they lost by 20 in OT.
Yeah, because it wasn't Casey Jones that was the coach. And yeah, it had to be Casey Jones.
It was
just
Jones.
Just said, let him score as much as he wants. Just don't let anybody else score.
Just clamp down on the role players, yeah. And Jordan wound up shooting like 8 of his last 18 on shots.
Yeah.
And so it worked out.
Yeah. And when you've got a Larry Bird on the other side that can score with him point for point, it's not an issue.
Oh, yeah. Larry was a huge, huge.
David Preston, a regular listener to the show, goes, what do the Braves and the Falcons have in common?
Do not. You know, I know the answer to this question, and I am not about to say the answer, because I feel like if I do, then I'm going to be roasting every other fan out there that just has tried to forget about it. So if you want to tell us, you can, but I'm not going to say it, because I am a fan, and
yeah,
I will not shoot down my team.
That's it. That's it. And then Heather messaged in that the Falcons are the Cowboys of the East.
Not now that we've fired Dan Quinn. We have fired Dan Quinn. He's gone. Okay. We are 1-0 past the out of Dan Quinn era. We are 1-0. Okay, you have to give me that. And you know what? Who knows? This weekend we might be 2-0 without Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn may have been the problem. I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah. Too much talent on offense for you not to be winning.
Oh yeah.
But the thing that I like about Atlanta is that, and I forget the name of the restaurant, but the next time we go there, I'll research it. It's supposed to have the best fried chicken in America. This one restaurant that only serves it on Tuesday. It is a fine dining restaurant.
I've been there. And I was like 8 years old when I was. I know the name of this thing. Come on. I'll get back to you on that, but I know the name of it.
And there's also the Varsity. Cheeseburger, come on in.
Yeah, the Varsity. The Varsity was one of the first
very
things.
Cool place.
Yeah, the last time that I visited Atlanta was a couple of years ago, and it was with some friends on a school trip mainly, but it was a couple of days in Atlanta, and we ended up going to the Varsity, and it was only like a couple blocks away from the hotel we were staying at, I think, and it was really cool. It was really cool to go in, because I'm a burger guy. I have always been a cheeseburger fan. It is, in my opinion, America's best food, and you cannot change my mind on that. So I wound up going through, and I got, like, this big – I mean, the thing was, like, half a pound. And people are like, you're not eating that. You're not eating that. And my 16-year-old self, competitive as I am, I'm like, watch me. And then I proceeded to try to eat all the fries, and I did not get out of the hotel bed the next morning. It hurt so bad in my stomach area. It just hurt.
Yeah. But I need to get back to Atlanta, because there are some wonderful places to eat, and I have not gotten any of the local flavor simply because, you know, it's always been there, see a concert, hit Waffle House, and get back out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I probably need to go there. Looks like, do we have time to bring up John from Fish River?
We have a couple minutes left.
All right, bring John up. John, have you had a meatball of a weekend?
Oh, man, this is what I got to tell you about. Everybody loved them.
Good.
They were good. Did you make them?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Well, you did an excellent job.
Thank you. I followed the instructions perfectly.
But if it wasn't for the meatball, spaghetti would have been blah. Yeah, I had a lot of people to feed and did a good job. I was really surprised that y'all came through like that. And they lost the order at first.
I showed everybody where it was. They just, whoever it was, wasn't working when I put it back there.
Probably not. He didn't know what I was talking about. But anyway, Stu, good job. I want to thank you and Rouse a whole lot, okay?
Hey, we appreciate it, John. And just anybody, if you got a special request like that, just call us a day or two in advance, like John did. All right, folks, that was John from Fish River. He's headed on out of here. We got to go ourselves. It's been a good – how much longer we got?
We got about 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Folks, get out there and support your local restaurants, your local bars, your local entertainers. When those servers are busting their butt, make sure you tip them, and servers keep busting that butt. People are watching. They're looking for any excuse not to want to have to tip you. So stay on your game. Do what you're supposed to. Get off that cell phone.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're going out with a classic, folks. Mike is at home. I am here. But to that we say provolone.
Serve some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in